Thank you. It's good to be back here at ENTC. Thank you too for the leaders here who are a bit concerned that I might lose my way here. And well, I did not lose my way, otherwise you would not see me here this morning. But there have been a lot of developments on the way, and my wife and I had to be very careful in order that we might take a mistake again and we will get lost. Anyway, it's good to be back, and this morning I would like to deal with a subject which is very familiar with all of you, but perhaps a good reminder will be a great help. The local church is people. I'm going to go through the very basics of the local church and the people who make up the local church. Some of you are very familiar with the things that I shall be bringing up, but it is a good reminder. I shall deal with the place name of the church, the people who make up the church, the personnel in the local church, that it is self-supporting and it is self-propagating. Definitely, I would not be able to complete all these five very important topics in just this session. I wish I had two, but anyway, I could not make it. Next week, I shall also be at Taiping Gospel Hall. So even if I am given next week's meeting, I would not be able to make it. Anyway, what I would do would be I would touch as much as possible into these topics, and where I cannot finish, what I would do is I go through the outline very quickly, and then after that, if you want to visit or you want to know fully the outline, you can visit my website and you can download the whole PowerPoint file. Then you will have the complete outline of the message that I intend to give to you. Well, for those who are taking down notes, perhaps I may suggest that you do not do so, because I am going a bit fast. And you can download this whole outline from my website, as I pointed out earlier. So, by way of introduction, let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon both theirs and ours. Let us pray. A loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we are members of the local church, the church of God that Thou hast appointed for us to be in at Bukit Mutajang. We thank You for what we are, for the grace that has made us to be members of this local church. And as we remind ourselves of our responsibilities, we do pray that Thou would so lead us, guide us, and give us the grace to be compliant to what Thou dost expect of each one of us. We do pray and we do ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The local church. Now, what is this local church? First and foremost, you will note that it is the church of God. Now, the local church does not belong to any person on earth. It is the church of God. And it is the church of God at Corinth. And this is what we are going to meditate upon for a longer time as we go on. The place name of the church. How do we name our church? It says there in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You will note that the church that we are referring to is the church of God. The church of God. It is God's church, and it is the church of God that is placed in Corinth. Biblically, the church is to be named as the church in Corinth or the church at Corinth. It is the church of God placed in a certain locality, hence the local church. Now, compare the seven churches in Asia. We have, for example, in Asia, the churches named as the Church of Ephesus, the Church of Smyrna, King James Authorized Version. King James Authorized Version has a poor translation of the phrase the Church of Ephesus. It is not of, it is the Church at Ephesus, or if you refer to your modern version, the Church in Ephesus. It is not the Church of Ephesus, it is the Church at Smyrna, the Church in Pergamos, the Church in Thyatira, the Church in Sardis, the Church in Philadelphia, the Church in Laodicea, and so on. So it's the church in. You do not name a church up as the church of. Therefore, when you have the church named after a country, it's wrong. The Church of England, the Church of Rome, the Church of Scotland, the Church of Penang. That is not biblical, because it's the Church of God. It's the Church of Penang. It's the Church of God in Penang. It's the Church of God in Butterworth, and so on. So it's not the Church of God. Next, you compare this with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. It says the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. And here you see two geographical positions. The saints who are in Christ Jesus, the saints who are at Philippi, the church of God. The church of God consists of saints in Christ Jesus. And then these saints are at Philippi or in Philippi. It is not the church of Philippi, it's the church at Philippi or in Philippi. Therefore, we find that the local church in a city is the body of Christ in that city. And hence, we need to call ourselves the proper name as in the scriptures. Right, our first identity of a local church in Penang would be the Fa Kwa Street Chapel. That was how our church, the local church of God in Penang, was named at the very starting point. Fa Kwa Street Chapel. To be more precise, it was known as Fa Kwa Street Mission House and Chapel. Because in that church, in that place, there was also the mission house for the missionary to stay. And so you have Fa Kwa Street Mission House and Chapel. The ruins of it are still standing at Fa Kwa Street today, if you pass by, but they are being renovated and they are being rebuilt. Then we have Burma Road Gospel Hall. Why don't we call ourselves Burma Road Church? None of the assemblies or the churches associated with us are named church. Why cannot we use church? After all, it's a church at Philadelphia, the church at Laodicea, church. Now, it is not wrong to use church, but the problem is the word church is so misused and abused today, so that when we use the word church, it is often referred to a building. For example, you have read of a church being burnt down. The church can never be burnt down, because the church is living. The church consists of people who are saints, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are living people. The church cannot be burnt down. The Lord Jesus Christ himself has said that the church is built upon a strong foundation, of which he is the foundation. And Hades cannot even prevail against it. So the church is never a building. Don't refer to a church as a building. Therefore, in our place, we find that it's better not to use a word that has been abused and that has been misused. So We don't name our church as church, because the church would be living people. And that's why we call it Gospel Hall. We choose a neutral name, a name that does not divide it from any other groups. Gospel Hall. In fact, for the history of the other people here, it was first named Burma Road Hall, not Gospel Hall. But then there was the Dance Hall, and some people may associate Burma Road Hall with the Dance Hall, and that would be disaster. And therefore, to make it clear, it was Gospel Hall. And that's why the name developed. Well, there are others. Bukit Metajam Gospel Center. And so we have the center, the hall, the church, the chapel, and so on. All these names are neutral. They do not say that we are different from others. We try to follow what the Bible teaches. Then aren't we not a church? We are a church, but we are not a building. Let's go on. Let us realize the basic concept of the local church. It is the replica of the one body of Christ. First, we must understand the universal church, the body of Christ in heaven. It is mystical, it is universal, it started from the time when the Holy Spirit came down to give birth to the church at Pentecost, to the time when the church will be raptured up into heaven, and that period from Pentecost to the rapture would be the period of the church. All those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ would be members of the church, of that church in heaven, no matter who you are and from where you come. From the time of Pentecost right up to the time when the church will be raptured, that would be all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who would be saved would be in that church. And therefore, a church is not to be named after a person. That's why in 1 Corinthians 1:12 we read, everyone saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Paul challenged. You cannot name a church St. Paul's church. Can you name a church Apollos church? Can you name St. Peter's cathedral? Can you say, this is the church of Christ? No, you cannot. Because when you name a church in that way, you are segregating, isolating yourself from all others who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ too. They also have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are also members of the universal church and therefore entitled to members of the local church. Therefore, aren't we the brethren church? Named after our practice, because we call ourselves, hello brother, good morning sister, so we are the brethren church. Are we the brethren church? No, we are not. We are not the brethren church with a capital B. We are a brethren church with a small b. All those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ are our brothers, small b, and sisters, small s. We are not a special group of people known as the brethren. Today, we are known as the brethren because people outside would like to call us brethren to identify us, to be different from themselves. Now, that is their problem. But we are prepared to take them in because they are our brethren if they have truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Provided, of course, that they believe in the gospel and not another gospel. What is another gospel? Another gospel is a gospel that adds on to the basic gospel. A gospel plus. When a person believes in a gospel and something else, then we cannot. For example, you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you must be baptized. We cannot accept that. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you must keep the Sabbath. We must not accept that. And so on. We cannot believe in the gospel and something else. It is another gospel. We cannot believe in the gospel and subtract something else. We cannot say we believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we cannot believe in the blood that He shed. We cannot. It's so drastic. So we find that when a person does not believe in the gospel alone, but has to add to the gospel or to subtract from the gospel, then we cannot accept that person. Although we say we include everything everybody in the church, because everyone who believes the gospel is entitled to be a member of the church. It is therefore not to be named after a practice. Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius. Baptism should not be the condition of being members of a church, like, for example, a Baptist church, because they practice baptism. A Presbyterian church, because they practice a system of presbytery, system of eldership. No, we cannot. So, just as we are prepared to include all those people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, provided they don't add to the gospel or subtract from the gospel, at the same time, we cannot accept all those who do not want to have anything to do with us because we are not part of them. Although they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they identify themselves by a system, by a name that is not biblical, and so on. So, a church is also to be not named by any other party name. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul, and so on? So, the unity of the oneness of the body of Christ must be treasured and must be properly understood by everyone who is a member of the church. There must be no church couch. And Christ must never be divided. If some people say, I am in the body of Christ, but this part and another that part, then all will be so confused, then the unity of the oneness of the body of Christ is so confusing that it amounts to Christ being divided. Right. Let's go on. The people who make up the church. Now we understand why the church is to be named as such. Because of the people who make up the church. It says, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. They are sanctified people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 11. Such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, these people in Corinth, mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, they were sinners. In fact, in verses 9 and 10, you will read that they were idolaters, they were drunkards, they were abusers of men, they were effeminate, they were all sorts of bad people, so to speak. But having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, they had become justified, sins were given, they had become sanctified, becoming saints, and that's why they are called sanctified, called to be saints. They are saints. They are saints. From sinners, they have become saints. Now, to sanctify a person is to make a person a saint. And what we must understand from Scripture is this. A saint is not a person who has died. People today and churches today make people of saints who were dead. And after some years, because they examine their lives as holy and so on, they make them saints. No. Saints are living people. When Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, Paul addressed them as saints. Actually, in the King James Version, when we read, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, the words to be are in italics, indicating that the two words to be are not found in the original scriptures. It should read, them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Saints is the position. The position before Christ and before God. God calls these people the church of God. They are saints. They are saints. Cleansed by the very precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints. This is a position. However, this does not refer to their condition. Their condition is different. Their condition is far from being saints. And therefore, in a way, when the translators added the word to be, can also be correct. Called to be saints. You are saints, but very many people are not saints in their life and in their practical living, therefore they need to be saints. So all of us here are saints before God, but we need to live lives of sainthood. and saintliness, holiness. That's why we need to be called, we need to be saints in our living. So that will be our condition and our position. Right. Let's go on. So these people are sanctified people. They are saints. And they are the saints, those in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's where we must understand that we have to accept all those who have truly believed in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not the gospel plus, not the gospel minus, but the gospel, purely in the gospel. A gospel plus is another gospel. A gospel plus is a minus is another gospel. It must be the gospel. And all those who believe are our brethren. They believe in the same gospel, they are our brethren. And that's why we are brethren with a small b. We do not isolate ourselves from them. They are the same as those of us who are believers in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the local church is a replica of the one universal church. In heaven, where the universal church is, there is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither male nor female, there is neither born nor free. All are same in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. All are equal. And the local church, being a replica or a reflection of the universal church, must be able to reflect this in our Christian testimony upon earth. So the local church must be a reflection of the universal church to be able to accept all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not with a gospel plus or a gospel minus, but the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must accept them, and at the same time we must realize that all these big churches who practice such things, they are independent churches. It is an independent church responsible to the Lord himself. No church has the authority to discipline another church. We'll take the local churches at large upon earth. They are all under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, we are the body. And therefore, we take command and we take discipline from him and him alone. That is the local church. No local church can discipline another local church. That's why we see in the seven churches in Revelation 1 and 2, 2 and 3, Jesus Christ was in the midst of the lampstands. Jesus Christ was in the midst. Every lampstand representing every church surrounded the Lord Jesus Christ with him in the center. Every church surrounding that center is responsible to the center alone. They are not responsible to the one beside. They are responsible to the center alone, and they have got to give an account to the center, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in the letters to some churches, it's always the Lord himself dealing with all the other churches. The church of Ephesus never pointed out the faults of the church in Laodicea, although Laodicea was such a bad church. It's the Lord that is responsible, the Lord that will discipline each one of them. And so there is no such thing as the headquarters, no such thing as another church overruling other churches. No, that's why in our assembly we have no headquarters. Although you were at one time the result of coming out from the work of Butterworth Gospel Hall or from Bumble Hall, whatever it may be, you are not ever under the control of them. You are independent. You are an independent church responsible to the Lord. So whatever happens to you, you are responsible to him. It is related to each other intradependently. Now, while it is true that every church would surround the center and be responsible to the center, yet the churches surrounding the center should relate to one another. For example, in Colossians 4:15 and 16, when Paul wrote a letter to Colossae, he said, "This letter that I've written to you, share it with the church in Laodicea." There is communication, there is relationship. And that's why years ago, I started the PAP in Penang. PAP means Penang Assemblies Partnership. Trying to bring together all the assemblies in Penang to work together, to be informed of what each was doing, and yet none of them would overrule the other. So that is important. So we need to understand this intra-dependently. Then we also need to understand too that the churches are related to others interdependently. For example, in 1 Corinthians 11:16, Paul was discussing the matter of head covering of the sisters and the uncovering of the head of the brothers. And Paul told the Christians in Corinth, "Look here, you are not practicing things rightly. This is not what you refuse to cover. The women refuse to cover. The men, well, I don't know, they might not be uncovering. But the point is, you practice such." Paul says, if any man is contentious about these things, we have no such custom, nor the church of God. We have no such custom from the other churches, nor the church of God. In other words, you are responsible for the decision that you make. No other church can have the right to discipline you. But if you prefer to take that stand, then you're responsible. And so we find that each one of us must realize that we have to have this fellowship with other churches as well. Right. We have dealt with the place name of the church, the people who make up the church. Now we come on to the personnel in the local church. Who are the leaders in the local church? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the saints and the bishops and deacons." There are only two groups of leaders, the bishops and the deacons. Who are the bishops? Today, we have got archbishop, bishop, and many others in between and under. Now, all these names are never found in the Bible. The Bible recognizes only two groups, bishops and deacons. When Paul uses the name bishops, elders and pastors, they all refer to the same name, the same person. For example, Acts 20:17, Paul called the elders at Ephesus together and he used the name elders. Then in verse 28, he addressed these elders and he said to them, "Care, pay heed to what the Lord has given you, that you oversee the flock properly, and that you feed the flock." Oversee is from the word, we have got the word oversight, overseer, and that's where the word bishop is. Shepherd the flock, feed the flock, is what you have, pastor, a shepherd. Then all these three names are used of the same groups of people, the elders. And so we find that these names are not titles of officials or officers, but they are to describe the work that these leaders are to do. More about that as I go on. Then the second one, you have the deacons, the diaconos. A deacon is not an official of the church. He is a servant of the church. He ministers, he attends to the table. He is the one who does the other things that need to be done in the local church. And that's a deacon. He is no official person in the church office. Whatever it is, let us realize, the names bishops, elders, pastors, deacons, they are all functional names. They are not positional names to describe the responsibilities of the person. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 12 tells us this, "Know them that have the rule over you." In other words, elders and deacons are appointed by the Holy Spirit at least they were appointed at that time, and then through the apostles. But in our time, we don't have the apostles. So how do we know them that have the rule over you? We know them because of the qualities listed down for us in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 7 for elders, chapter 3 verses 8 to 13 for deacons. In other words, these people who are to be elders and to be deacons must fulfill all the qualities laid down in 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 7. And when we see a person who manifests all these qualities, then we recognize them as an elder. Our work as members of the local church are to recognize and not appoint. Appoint is by the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit appoints, then that person will manifest the qualities. And we recognize these qualities and we acknowledge them as elders. Likewise, deacons. But deacons, there's a bit of difference. Because they serve. And as deacons, we can choose the deacons from among us to serve. Now, as I said, in other times before, an elder is not appointed to the task. An elder is recognized in the task. Do you know the difference? In other words, if a person has not been doing the work of an elder and does not show the quality of an elder, he does not qualify to be an elder. But when a person does the work of an elder and he manifests the qualities of an elder, then he is to be recognized as such. Therefore, an elder is not appointed to the task, but recognized in the task. Now, the next part. The church, the local church, must be self-supporting. Self-supporting. In personnel resources. And for that, we need to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let us remind ourselves, the church is a living people. Living bricks, living stones, not dead bricks, not a stone building. It is living. Therefore, there are people in the church. So, there must first be the recognition of church members. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We must recognize that all the others are members of the local church, and they are our resources. Every member is valuable and gifted. No person in the local church is not gifted. Chapter 12, verse 7. Everyone has the manifestation of the Holy Spirit without. In other words, every member has a gift. Basically, everyone has a gift. Don't come and tell your leaders that you do not have any gifts, because you have a gift given to you by the Lord to fulfill your function as a member of the local church. To understand this better, let us realize that no member is dispensable. Chapter 12, verses 14 to 16. Now here, it says, it challenges us that if you are an eye, you cannot say to the another person, look, I am an eye, you are an ear, an eye is more important than an ear, so you can be dispensed with. You cannot. You cannot say that. Because if you say that and you are an eye, it's Paul challenges us. If the whole body is an eye, how monstrous it is. The body cannot function because it's only one eye. We need everyone. We need everybody. No one is dispensable. Leaders must not treat anybody here as dispensable, because everyone is needed in the life and living of the church. No member is indispensable. No one can say, I'm only the toe, not important. Let all the others do their work. I can just say that. I come or I don't come, people also do not know. So what is the point? No, you cannot say that. Because if you are a toe, and you know what happens when a toe gets swollen, it can be very painful to the whole body. And likewise, any part of the body, So every one of you is needed. No one can say he is dispensable. He can go out. We don't want him. We can get rid of him. No one can say I'm completely useless. I'm of no use at all. Let them do all the work. No one. The church life is such that every member must function. Without one, the others cannot work. So we must work together. But then, what about those who are weak, those who are senior, those who are injured? Can they function? Yes, they can. Those who are stronger must need to help those who are feeble. It's, Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 12, 22-27 that those who are feeble and who are weak, more attention must be given to them, to help them. And in that way, those who are strong are fulfilling their functions. And help the weak, and the weak, when he is helped in that way, he is able to fulfill his function. And so all together, work together to function in that way. So every member is valuable and gifted, and everyone is variously gifted. Chapter 12, verses 8 to 10, 28 to 30. Each one has a different gift. And if you do not fulfill that gift, then the body cannot function. And that's why in our body there is the ear. The ear cannot smell with the nose, as the nose. The nose cannot hear with itself. So the nose has its separate gift, separate function. The ear has its separate function. And likewise, every one of you has a different function. Know your gift and find out. Gifts are from the sovereign God. Now, if your ear is here, you cannot do anything about it. You cannot take your ear, cut it off and put it here as your nose. You cannot. Because that is what God has given you with. And in the same way, if you do not have the gift of coming up here on the platform to preach, well, let it be satisfactory to you to just remain where you are and do what God has given you. You are not supposed to be here. You are not supposed to be here. So each one must recognize that God is sovereign in the giving of the gifts. Gifts are for service to the good of all. Chapter 12, verse 7. It is for the common good, for everyone. No gift is for self-edification. Oh, this gift is given for me so that I can edify myself. No gift is given for self-edification. Gift is given for the common good, for the profit of everyone else. It is to be used for other people, not for yourself. Chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that the Corinthian church did not come behind in any gift. They were very gifted people, but yet they were not spiritual. Don't ever think that people who had a lot of gifts are very spiritual. No, not necessarily so. They had a lot of gifts, these Christians in Corinth, but they were not godly. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 3, I want to feed you with milk, but with meat, but I cannot. You are so childish. You are so immature. I have got to give you milk still after all these years. And it's like some of us. So you may be a very gifted person, a very gifted man. And sometimes you see a person who is very gifted, but he speaks nonsense. He's like a child. So gifts do not suggest spirituality. Some men are visibly gifted. Then let us realize also that there are some who have been specially called by God. In fact, those who give gifts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And in chapter 12, verses 11 and 28, we find that the Spirit gives gifts, the Father of the God also gives gifts, and now we find that the Son also gives gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Christ gave men to the building up of the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 11, he gave them apostles and prophets. Now, these apostles and prophets, we don't see them anymore. Why? Because they were the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2:20, built up upon the foundation of the church, of the prophets and the apostles. Alright? So, once the apostles and the prophets had given us the foundation in the word of God, we are to be built up upon the word of God. And then for the building up of the church, we need evangelists to go out and bring the people in. We need pastors and teachers to build up those who have been brought in. And so we have the complete gifts that a local church needs for it to develop and function well. Evangelists to go out to bring people in, teachers and pastors, elders to build up the church, that the people who have been brought in. Alright, this, if you find in the context of Ephesians chapter 4, are gifts given to the universal church, to the church at large, not to every local church, so that every local church does not have essentially evangelists, pastors and teachers. They are the gifted ones specially given by God for them to go to visit the various local churches, so that they will be able to help the local churches to expand and to be built up and be edified. So these are special gifts given to local churches, not to each local church, in order that they may be built up and be edified. Alright, the utilization of the church members. Every church member should realize that he has a place or she has a function to fulfill in the local church. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we have different gifts. And you know, one of the gifts is helps. If you look carefully there, helps. You can be a great help. You don't have a gift to come up on the pulpit, you don't have a gift to sing, but you can be a great help in any way. You see any place, anything that needs help, please help. That is your gift. So fulfill that gift. Be active in the life of the church. Discover your place. Chapter 12, 28 to 31. Discover what your gifts are, where you can play that, where you can function as you are, and develop yourself in the church. Now, especially in a church like Bukit Mertajam Gospel Center, where the center is very small, where the church is small, everybody needs to function. No one can just sit down and do nothing and hope to be helped at all. You need to help, not to be helped so much. Develop your potential. 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift that is in you. Neglect not the gift. You cannot develop that gift until you use it. If you know you have that gift but you don't use it, it will decay. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the parable had said, those who have, if they are not used, will be taken away what they have. And those who have, what they have will be further developed and they will have more. So let us not just keep the gifts to ourselves, use them for the edification and help of other people. Right, next, the cooperation of the church members. We need cooperation. Each one has a different gift, therefore everyone must cooperate, because everyone has a different gift. Firstly, acknowledge the divine headship of the Godhead, that God has set certain people as leaders, elders as leaders. For example, in chapter 11 verse 3, we have the order of the headship. God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of woman. Then chapter 12 verses 4 to 6, we have got different gifts. We have to accept the appointed leadership of the elders. 12:28, one of the gifts is governments. Hebrews 13:17, know them that have the rule over you. 1 Thessalonians. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Elders are responsible to God. At the day of the judgment seat of Christ, elders have got to give an account of the souls under them. That is a serious responsibility. And therefore members have to obey elders. Obey them that have the rule over you. Deacons are not told of that. We do not read of deacons being told that they shall give an account. But elders must give an account for the souls under them. And therefore the souls under them must realize the serious and solemn responsibility, cooperate with them and obey them. And to the other members, extend to the functional membership of our others. Recognize that everyone has a different function, and therefore cooperate with one another. Chapter 12, verses 15 and 21. And then as you carry out your gifts, be humble. Carry out your discharge, your stewardship, in affection one for another. And the point, that's why in chapter 13, we have a list of the things characterized by love. Do all this in love for one another. Alright, so that is the cooperation of the church members that is required of every member in the local church to function well. Now, very quickly now, because I don't have time to develop two important aspects of the local church. But if you like, you can go on to see, to visit my website and have the details there. We need also to consider its financial resources. Very quickly, I just go over what the main heading is about. We need the supply of self-sufficient funds to maintain the local assembly, and that's why every Sunday you give. To modify those living in poverty, the assembly needs to have a poor fund to help those who are poor, because if we don't take care of the poor in our family, then we are worse than infidels. To minister to the Lord's employees, and 1 Corinthians 9, 7-14, we are told of three groups of the Lord's servants. They are those who plant, and who go to war. They are in the front line, missionaries, evangelists, preachers. They are those who plant in the vineyard, therefore they refer to the ministers and the church planters who build up the church. It also refers to shepherds. There will be elders and teachers who take care of the sheep. So these people must be cared for. There must be a fund for them if needs be. If they need the funds, you must be prepared to give to them. Why elders as well? Elders sometimes are very poor. Very, very poor. Some of them are farmers. Some of them are just laborers. But they are very spiritual in their lives, and they become elders, and they need some help. And that's why it says in 1 Timothy 5, 8-10, they should be recognized as such as elders and be given a double portion. And that double portion is support. Mid-fellowship appeals with liberality. Like for example, certain assemblies need help. Ask, then you need to have fellowship with them. But whatever it is, and that's why the local church has its resources, financial resources, from only these sources, not from outside. We don't get funds from outside the church. We don't get funds from unbelievers. Now, I dare say this, I have this to say, and I'm very proud of it. Bumrungrung Hall today has built put up the buildings for Island Glades, for Butterworth Gospel Hall, for Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall, and so on, without borrowing a cent from even the bank, without taking money from unbelievers. All have come from their own funds and from the fellowship with believers elsewhere. And today, the new Bumrungrung Hall building is ready, and we will be moving in just a few months' time. And although we are spending amount of over 6 million, every cent comes from believers. We don't take from outside funfare and so on. But this has to be done, to be practiced in faith, trusting the Lord for all things. Alright, the source and supply of funds, as I said, must come from members primarily to commit themselves to give to Christ. Members should be able to give graciously to the work of the Lord. Members should calculate how much they should give and give in accordance to their portion, according to the purpose, according to as the Lord prospers them. Members are counted upon to give graciously and not grudgingly, and to the fact that you just give and you love in giving. That's the word used. It is self-supporting, it is self-propagating. The local church must expand. It's a growing church. It must expand. For the gifts are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Through expansion, there must first be growth in maturity. The Christians in the local church must grow spiritually. Leaders must see to it that they are fed the right food, spiritual food, from the Word. They must grow in ministry. They must be able to serve and minister to one another. They must grow in stability. They must be able to stand steadfast and not move about like with every wit of doctrine. They must grow in unity, all coming together as one to serve the Lord. Through extension, it must be a going church. The church must go out. There's no excuse for people to find churches. It should find them. That is the commission given to the church. And therefore, the church must have a sense of vision. Without a vision, the people perish. There must be a sense of mission. Must go out to fulfill the commission of the Lord. That sense of passion, that in all things you might win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be a Jew. You need to win the Jew. You need to become a Jew as well, with a sense of action that you will go out by all means, I might save some. 1 Corinthians 9:22. So in conclusion, responsibilities of being a full-fledged independent assembly towards God: make sure your church is God-glorifying, Christ-centered, spirit-stimulating and Bible-based. Towards self: it must be self-supporting, self-propagating and self-governing. Roughly speaking, organization of the church as revealed in the Bible: Christ is the head of every local church. That must be recognized. The Bible is the only written creed for each local church. Each local church is autonomous and self-governing. No organization tied between local churches. No organization larger than local churches. Local churches appoint their own plurality of elders. And so, we go on, take care. Our responsibility towards subversives: take care that those people who do not believe in the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but add on, they don't come in. Subtract from, they don't come in. Receive them not, neither bid them Godspeed. Well, your responsibility towards God, towards self, towards subversives and towards others: reach out to sinners with the gospel, by all means save some. Sister churches, in consideration, consultation and communion, have fellowship with all the other assemblies around you, such as those who name the name of the Lord. Greetings and salutations. Grace be unto you and peace from our God Jesus Christ. And indeed, may the grace of God and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God be with you until I see you, God willing, next year again, when I come to speak on the book of Ezekiel. The Lord bless. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy teaching on the local church. We thank you, Lord, that we are privileged to be living stones in that spiritual building, that we are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, each one to so function. And we do pray for the blessings upon this local assembly, Bukit Mertajam Gospel Center. We do pray for the elders. We do pray for the deacons. We do pray for the members, that all may fulfill their functions and this assembly may grow from strength to strength, extending into the world outside and being built up upon thy word inside. Lord, bless all here in this assembly this day. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.